hello, Road to Indy fans. We're into a brand new season. My name is Rob Howden, the voice of the Road to Indy presented by Cooper Tires and the Road to Indy Insider as well. I'm lucky to have some pretty good sources and my intel pretty solid when it comes to what's happening in this Road to Indy. As we kick off the 2019 season, I guess a couple of the first things to talk about is how many times will I let Mazda slip in there? How many times will I call it Pro Mazda? I'm going to do what I can, of course, in this podcast and then throughout the early weekends of the 2019 season to hail the right nomenclature, make sure that I'm not stepping over a little bit because, you know, for the last, 9 years, Mazda's been in the program and Pro Mazda's been going for a long time as well. But we'll see what we can do. This podcast, this initial edition, actually is number 13 of the Road to Indy Insider. In the past, it was the MRTI Insider. We had to change that, obviously, with the departure of Mazda. And, of course, we wish everyone from Mazda the best going into the 2019 program. But, again, this is kind of a season preview. We're, what is it right now, February the 25th, Monday. We're still probably about 10 days out from the opening round at the Grand Prix of St. Petersburg. This coming weekend, the official spring training program down in Homestead, a couple of days for USF 2000 and Indy Pro 2000. And then on the Monday, the 4th, Indy Lights will take to the racetrack for their final test day before they head to the streets of St. Petersburg. The weekend actually in St. Petersburg, a little interesting for the first time, maybe not, not the first time, but once again, but even more so this particular runaround, full day on Thursday on track. We don't usually get that, but USF 2000 and Indy Pro 2000 will be on track for a couple practice sessions, qualifying too, I think. So the schedule, of course, so packed at St. Pete that moving into the Thursday, the track's already set up and ready to go, so let's leverage it. I think the biggest change, at least for most of us, are happy that we're not going to have to run after IndyCar on Sunday. We ran a couple of main events last year after the IndyCar race went in the books, and I think that was tough holding everybody there till late Sunday. So the preview. My initial intent was to do three separate podcasts. I decided to just lump them all into one right now. Unlike a lot of the other seasons, the grids have come together very late. There were times when we had, you know, I was doing the articles, the projection articles, and we knew where people were going, and they were maybe a little more free with letting us know where they were, even though they hadn't announced yet. People very, very tight-lipped this time around. It took a long time for us to really start to develop things, and I didn't want to jump in and say, hey, here's five or six guys confirmed for Indy Pro 2000 when I knew there was probably 12 or 13, but we'll wait. And we did, and here we are. So this is essentially my insider preview for what we're going to see in St. Petersburg. That said, there's a lot of stuff still to drop, and I'd love to be able to tell you a lot of it. I can hint to it a little bit, but there are still things that are going to happen. I think that once, of course, everybody gets to Homestead, some names are going to pop up in certain cars, and you're going to realize where people are going to be when we get to St. Petersburg to kick off the new year. Let's kick things off first. We'll start with the Indy Lights program and just have a little look at their season. As I said, we had the test coming here on Monday, March the 4th. Then we'll do a doubleheader at St. Petersburg on the street circuit. From there, I think we're all super excited. A couple weeks later, we had the Circuit of the Americas. The Lights car is actually testing there in mid-February. Looking forward to getting to that 3.4-mile, 20-turn road course. Obviously, the elevation change is part of the great part of it. I think IndyCar is going to be awesome there. And I know that excited to get there with the Indy Lights drivers as well. After that, actually, they have over a month off, essentially 6 weeks off, before we head to the month of May. And the doubleheader at the Grand Prix of Indianapolis on the road course at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Then, of course, we're back for the Carb Day event, which is the Freedom 100 on the 2.5-mile oval. The drivers will test the Monday before that on May the 20th. We're on track on Thursday and Friday with the Freedom running as part of the exciting Carb Day festivities. Fast forward another full month to the end of June, June 21, 22, 23. We head to Road America, Elkhart Lake. Looking forward to that one, as always, 4 miles. And the Lights cars race really well there. So many long straightaways, hard-breaking corners, some off-camber stuff. Of course, you know, going through the carousel, all the way down through the Cattle Bottoms to Canada Corner. It's just such a great track for us. Then up to the streets of Toronto again, which is big. The fans in Toronto love Indy Lights in a big way. From there to the traditional stop at Mid-Ohio on the final weekend of July. And then we just wrap things up with three events. We go the end of August to Gateway Motorsports Park, the second of the two ovals alongside the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. And then all three of the Road to Indy series capping things off with the Labor Day weekend at Portland, Oregon, Portland International Raceway. And then we're going to finish off the season at WeatherTech Raceway Laguna Seca for the finale on September 2021-22. So let's dive in now to the lineup. It's tough. You know, we're looking at the way things were shaking down and we're like, man, I said to myself, we may end up with 12 cars in Indy Lights. Now, I think anybody who followed it last year know that we struggled in terms of getting the cars. It was sad to see. So here's what we're seeing right now. That's because there's some news that's essentially going to probably drop. I'm recording this on Monday night. I'm going to get this thing out tomorrow. And I'll probably wait for the news to drop because I believe it's going to drop tomorrow. So we'll go to that. Let's start with Andretti Autosport. Confirmed right now, Ryan Norman, Robert McGinnis, and Oliver Askew. Julian Falchero tested with the team a couple of times in the offseason, but I have not seen or got any confirmation whether or not Julian's going to be there full time. But Ryan Norman's back for his third year. I think that's exciting. Of course, he won at Gateway Motorsports Park, got that big victory after that fantastic battle with his teammates. And I was super excited to see what he was able to get done. He and Colton going at it, Colton Herta, and Ryan able to win. I know that he was looking to potentially go IndyCar this year. And I think I get it. I get the draw and I do even more understand the business side of it because much easier to sell sponsorship for a limited program in IndyCar, I think, than it is to try to do the full season in Indy Lights. But he needs the seat time. And so a lot of testing in the off season. And I think Ryan's going to be good coming out of the box. But again, confirm him for his third year with Andretti Autosport. Showed some flashes of brilliance in a win last year. I think he's ready to take his run at the championship. He'll have to battle, of course, with Oliver Askew. That was a late signee when they went to COTA for the test. We didn't know. Nobody knew that Oliver had signed up to do the test. And during the test, I was texting with him and saying, hey, I really hope you can put it all together and potentially go with them and ready for a full season. Is that indeed the case? Well, Oliver let me know to keep it off the record that indeed he had signed and they were actually going to be announcing the next day. So I love seeing Oliver there. It's always great to see a driver work his way through the entire Road to Indy, you know, the whole ladder, because that's the key. You want drivers to be able to, you know, elevate themselves to the very top, that one step away from IndyCar. And he won the championship in USF 2000 with Kate, moved up with the team and battled it out with both Rinus VK, the eventual champion last year in Indy Pro 2000 and Parker Thompson as well. So this is a good move for him. It's a big step, of course, I think for anybody. He's only been in the Road to Indy for 2 years, but I do think that I think Oliver's going to contend well. He's in one of the big cars. I'm not confirmed whether he's in Colton's car from last year or Pato's, but regardless, either one is capable of winning races and all the Andretti cars are capable of winning. So, man, if he gets a hold of this thing and obviously he's rolling off some confidence, some momentum from that tremendous performance at the test at COTA. So I think that Oliver could be a guy to watch. Robert McGinnis, another driver moving his way through from USF 2000 through what was Pro Mazda last year, now into calling it Indy Pro 2000. Right into Indy Lights as well. I think Robert probably could have did one more year in the Indy Pro 2000. But man, you know, it's you jump up into an Andretti program and see what you can do. You know, Ryan's going to be gone next year. You never know if Oliver stays for one more year. So Robert coming in could be that heir apparent, finds himself at kind of the head of the class in the Andretti hauler for 2020. Not a bad idea. All right, let's go to Ballardi Auto Racing. So there's, let's call it count three right now for Andretti Autosport. The plus one will be whether or not Julian Falchero shows up as well. Right now, two drivers confirmed for Ballardi Auto Racing, a team that has seen many victories in years past. Zachary Clamondimello, who ran his first year of lights a couple years ago with Juncos Racing, then moved to Carlin, did a limited program in the IndyCar Pro Series last year. Looks at his budget and said, I'm going to go back and do a full year. And I think that if you look at the success that Zach Veach had doing that. He was essentially on the sidelines for a year trying to put together an IndyCar program. Zach came back with Ballardi, with Brian Ballardi's team, and won races, reset everything, and then went at it. And he obviously now has his full-time ride. So Zachary Clayman-DeMello coming back, I think if he blends well with the engineering staff at Ballardi, he is definitely going to be in the hunt. We know he has race-winning pace. He's done it before in Indy Lights. And he'll be teamed up with Lucas Cole, the young Brazilian driver with 3 years in USF 2000. Lucas, jumping past the Indy Pro 2000 category, was able to put a deal together to get into Indy Lights. It's going to be a learning curve for Lucas as well, for sure. But again, if he can stay out of trouble in the first couple of races, let's say, you know, he stays out of trouble through St. Pete, has a strong run at COTA. When we get to Indy, it could be interesting. He may be good on that on the road course there. He was pretty fast there last year. So those are the two drivers at Ballardi Auto Racing right now, but they have a third car. In talking to Brian Ballardi, I think he'd like to put somebody in that if possible. The name Victor Franzoni has been bantered around a little bit, whether or not Victor has an opportunity to put some kind of funding together. And if Brian wants to help him out a bit, we'll see. Victor, of course, a very talented young driver. Everybody will tell you that in the paddock. He's very highly rated. Just a great young kid, too, with a lot of passion. Former Pro Mazda champion. We'll see. I think Victor's going to be impressive to watch. He had a rough go last year, didn't have the funding to pair with his scholarship from winning the Pro Mazda / Indy Pro 2000 title. So kind of hampered him a bit in terms of being able to go all out, give 110%. We know he parked it at one point during qualifying in Toronto. Just the budget wasn't there, had some crash damage. And when you're a young driver and you don't have the budget and you're thinking crash damage and you're worried about being in debt for the next 10 years, it's just not the mindset you need going into these races. So hopefully Victor can get something together and we'll see what happens from there. That's 3, 4, 5. Sixth driver will be the BN Racing entry of David Malukas. Again, a partial schedule a couple years ago in USF 2000. They went full in on the Pro Mazda category of the series last year. David Malukas then said, hey, I'm going straight to Indy Lights. They put their own program together, and he's been good. He's just a talented young driver. I've had a chance to watch David come through the ranks from his karting career. He won here domestically on the national level in the SCUSA Pro Tour. He then went to Europe and won the IAMI International Final, which is a major world event that brings drivers from all over the globe. So this kid's got a lot of talent, and he's shown it. You know, he's been fast in USF 2000. He was a race winner. I think he won both races at Road America last year in Indy Pro 2000. So the talent's there. If the engineering squad and the team can figure everything out and not make any mistakes in terms of giving him a car, he'll be top five. We'll challenge for podiums, and you never know. Could go for a win. He seems to like Road America. The other driver definitely to watch, I'm kind of going down through the order, essentially alphabetically. I'm going to skip over one right now and go to Juncos Racing, because at this point, coming in here, they have one driver. They've got the Indy Pro 2000 champion from last year, and that's Rinus VK, the young Dutch driver. So unbelievably impressive. Kind of took hold of things after Toronto last year and just kind of barnstormed his way to the title by the time we got to Portland. What Rinus always does, they make sure that he's driving, and he just capped off, I believe it was the Asian F3 program, was able to go over there and run a short schedule over there and come away with the championship, racing against some pretty good talent as well. So Rinus has been behind the wheel, and not just testing, but actually wheel-to-wheel combat, which I think keeps him sharp. I think Rinus is going to impress coming out of the box big time, because he will, again, have that confidence from the championship from last year, championship from the Asian F3 program. He's with Juncos Racing. We know they're fast. Now, here's where we kind of cap things off for Indy Lights in this first edition of 2019 of the Road to Indy Insider. And this is going to come out. I actually have my intel over the weekend. It shocked me because I hated to hear it. Carlin Racing, I'm being told, has elected not to campaign the program this year. They had Dalton Kellett in the car. They tested Logan Sargeant as well down at COTA. Logan electing to go run with them, with Carlin, I believe, it's Carlin, in the F3 program in Europe. So they're looking at going in with a one-car effort, and that's just not normally what Carlin does. You know, they're two, three, four cars, And I'm told they just elected, no, we're not going to do this. So Dalton Kellett, who was signed to run for Carlin, I'm told now, will move over to the second car at Hunkos Racing. So that's kind of your update there. And, you know, Dalton stays in the program, moves over to Hunkos. So the positives are Hunkos gets another car, which is great. You know, bottom line, we talk about business. We want our teams to be you know, working nicely in the black. And so that's good for Ricardo and his crew. And, of course, puts a teammate on track there for Rinus VK as well. But for me, the big downfall is, of course, the loss of Carlin. Because I think, for me, that was one of those spotlight things that we knew was going to be big, that Carlin was coming back for 2020. And I really wanted them to be here because that was that positive. I think we could have hung on and said, hey, you know what? You know they're going to bring more cars in 2020 and 21. Maybe Carlin being back will kind of fuel Sam Schmidt to bring his crew back again. We know that the Indy Lights staff has been talking a lot with Larry Foyt as well. There's a lot of irons in the fire for 2020, and I just really wish that Carlin wouldn't have sidelined themselves. And I understand the concept. I haven't talked to Trevor yet. But I will when we get to St. Petersburg, and I get it. Business is business. This is racing. It's a hobby for some, but when you're talking millions of dollars and running at the top level, it's a business through and through. There's a passion for it, of course, but it's most definitely a business. So there's Indy Lights. We're looking at 8 cars for St. Petersburg. Let's cross our fingers that 9 and 10 potentially show up. Julian Falchero potentially with Andretti. As I said, potentially Franzoni or somebody else in a third car at Ballardi. We know that there are other cars available for people to jump into. So I'm going to still say 8's probably the number. 9, I think, would be fantastic. 10 would be an absolute gift when we're talking about Indy Lights. Let's move now to the Indy Pro 2000 class as we do a little preview here on my first edition of the Road to Indy Insider for 2019. Schedule, again, very similar to Indy Lights kicking things off. Of course, the series test, Saturday and Sunday. First 2 rounds at St. Petersburg, followed by the Grand Prix of Indianapolis on the road course, the 2.439-mile 14-turn road course at IMS. Then the Lucas Oil Raceway, of course, the Indy Pro and USF 2000 drivers do not run the big track or the Freedom. They run over at the 5/8-mile Lucas Oil Raceway, a tremendous track. And I always like watching that race. I like calling it, obviously. But, man, you get these drivers up around the wall, and they put on a great show. The night before the 500, always a fun one. Again, fast forward to late June for Road America. Then it's the same thing. It's running in Toronto on the street circuit. Then Mid-Ohio, they'll be at Gateway, as will Indy Lights. So that's the second oval for the Pro Mazda class. Or rather, the Indy Lights Pro. There you go. I just called it Pro Mazda. Indy Pro 2000. God, I got to just dish that into my head. They'll cap it off with, again, the oval at Gateway, Portland International Raceway on Labor Day, and, again, all 3 of the series, their finale at Laguna Seca. Looking forward to that. Of course, we'll have our banquet on Monday night. Looking forward to getting back to Laguna Seca. I like that racetrack a lot. The fact that we're with IndyCar makes it a ton of fun. All right, let's have a look. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 teams I'm seeing potentially running in the Indy Pro 2000 program. First and foremost, let's have a look. Let me get my pen out here so I can actually cross some stuff off, because you got to kind of start. Let's start with Hunkos Racing. Of course, they had Rinus VK last year, were able to win the championship. It's going to be interesting because they got Stingray Robb coming back. So Stingray's back again to run another year in the Indy Pro 2000 class. Stingray, of course, with some experience, looked good, had some flashes of brilliance last year, no doubt about that. And I think that this year he'll be ready to come back and really get at it. I was really happy to see that Stingray was coming back again with Hunkos Racing. They pick up Rasmus Lint, which I think is big. Rasmus, the young Swedish driver who was so good last year for Pabst Racing, running in USF 2000, was essentially a top 5 contender all year long. And in the end, actually, was battling for the championship, other than Kyle Kirkwood kind of dominating. But he fought it out with Igor Fraga from Exclusive Autosports, among those who are up front. Again, I have said this before on a couple of podcasts I've been on. I think Rasmus would very likely have been the outright contender for the championship in USF 2000, and he came back. And I know he was looking at that. He and I were discussing it at the end of the year. And that was, I think, the initial plan. Then, of course, the seat comes available to Juncos, and we've heard that he is indeed confirmed for Juncos Racing. So two cars for them right now, Lint and Rob. Let's move over to Exclusive Autosport because, of course, they were so good last year with Parker Thompson. I think let's put it this way, too. One of the other big news items was, you know, late last year, Cape Motorsports electing to focus just on USF 2000. They won't be doing Indy Pro 2000. They actually sold both of their cars, I believe. So let's move Exclusive Autosport up because Parker Thompson was, again, a race winner last year, challenged for the championship. They'll have three drivers at Exclusive Autosport. The veteran Nikita Lastoshkin back again, a couple of years in USF 2000, back for his another year here in Pro, and rather new Indy Pro 2000. Lastoshkin almost went with Exclusive Autosport last year. He actually tested at the Chris Griffith with them at the end of the 2017 season, but he finds himself with Michael Duncast's team. He'll be paired with Daniel Frost, driver out of Singapore, who I think could be a dark horse this year. Daniel ran a shortened schedule, kind of tested the waters in USF 2000 last year, but he's coming into play full-time in Indy Pro 2000. I think he's going to be a surprise when we hit the track at St. Petersburg. And the series rookie Parker Locke will round out the three drivers at Exclusive Autosport. From there, we go to DeForest Racing, where they essentially bring their two USF 2000 drivers up. A couple of years ago, it was Corey Enders and Moises De La Vera running together in USF 2000. This past year, there was a bit of an issue for De La Vera. He came back to Indy Pro 2000 later in the season. But he and Enders, the driver out of Texas, will be partners with DeForest Racing. Two cars with those traditional blue and white machines. I think both of those drivers ready to battle it out. And you can see the trend. Drivers coming from USF 2000 up to Indy Pro. There's a number who have transferred up, which will make things unbelievably exciting. Let's move now to where we go next. At this point, BN Racing, let me tell you a couple that don't have drivers right now. And that's where this is kind of interesting. BN Racing has been working to try to get a couple guys in the seat. And I'm told nobody at this point. Now, granted, we're getting late again. Potentially someone could get in there. But there was a number of drivers that we heard that were potentially rumored to the seat or attached to one of the seats. One of them was Julian Vandervaart. But Julian not getting signed yet. I don't know where things are there. But at this point, we may not see an Indy Pro 2000 car out of the BN stable. Same goes for Pabst Racing. Augie had bought cars, and I think that he was ready to make the move, was excited about it. Had some great drivers, of course, in his team last year. Rasmus Lint, Calvin Ming. You know, he had Lucas Cole. These guys that you would expect that were going to make the jump up, right, to Indy Pro 2000 with them. Obviously, they kind of scattered. Calvin Ming taking a year off, is finishing off his schooling. Lucas Cole jumps over Indy Pro 2000 to go to Lights. And Rasmus Lint ends up at Juncos. So, man, we were looking at a really exciting kind of extension slash evolution for Augie Papp's team. And he ends up just not having a car right now. So, we'll see whether or not they can potentially get someone in the car mid-season. I don't know. But at this point, that we will not see the traditional black livery of Pabst Racing on the Indy Pro 2000 grid. All right, where do we go from here? This is interesting. Here's a couple. There's three teams I'm going to talk about right now. And there could be another car. They're one cars, and we're hearing rumors of two cars. I'm going to start with J. Howard Motorsports. J. Howard Motorsport Development. Jay, of course, a veteran USF 2000 champion back in the day, the Cooper Tire Z-Tech Championship. He, of course, has run a number of Indianapolis 500s. He's had an F4 team. He's had a karting team for many years. Making a four right here into the Road to Indy presented by Cooper Tires. Got a couple of drivers that we'll talk about later running in the USF 2000 program. Was trying to put together a couple drivers in Indy Pro, but he ends up with one, and it's Antonio Saravalli, who ran a couple of races last year with Exclusive Autosport. He's actually gone out. The Saravallis have bought their own car, and they've been doing some testing, and they're going to run with Jay Howard as kind of a satellite team within Jay's program. I'm sure that they're going to rely more on Jay, I think, than they expected they were going to, but again, essentially, they bought their car, and Jay's going to run them. Is there a possibility for a second car there? Almost definitely, but will it happen? I can't see it happening for St. Petersburg. But then again, we're 10 days out and things always get exciting. Let's move now then to Able Motorsports. Last year, Jacob Able came in and ran USF 2000. I talked a lot about it last year on the Road to Indy TV about the fact that we knew that they were coming forward. It was right around the time that Jay Howard kind of confirmed that to me that he was going to come up and run USF 2000, expand from his F4 program. That was exciting. But Able Motorsports were excited too, and we found out that they were going to go to have two or three cars in USF 2000. They end up buying a couple of Pro Mazda cars. So Jacob Able will run the full season. There's been no announcement at all who's going to be in the second car. Initially, the rumor had it that it was going to be Kyle Kirkwood. Of course, Kirkwood racing for them last year in F3. Kind of got out there, shook down their F3 car, won almost every race, and won the championship in F3. But he also won the USF 2000 championship, has that scholarship. It's not going to be Kirkwood. Kirkwood's going somewhere else, I'm told. So this will be kind of an insider deal. Right now, not quite sure who's going to end up in the second car. I shouldn't say anything here. Nobody's announced it yet. They're kind of keeping it quiet. Let's put it this way. You're going to see a driver testing that car, driving that car at the spring training at Homestead. And I wish I could tell you, but I can't. I'm going to hold off on it. I really want to, but I can't. Okay, let's move to Kirkwood. Again, thoughts were that he was potentially going to go to Able Motorsports. What I'm hearing now is a potential ride with RP Motorsports. RP last year running Harrison Scott and Lodovico Lorini. They also ran Raul Guzman, I believe it was, midway through the season. Right now we're hearing that Kyle Kirkwood could be going to RP Motorsport. That could be a pretty interesting pairing. There's been no announcement on it yet, but as we know, RP was good last year with Harrison Scott. He was able to win races. And Kirkwood, I think, out of the box can win races as well. So if indeed that pairing comes to fruition, put them in the championship contention kind of place, because this is a young group. There aren't a lot of drivers who stayed back for another year here. So a young group is going to allow these guys to kind of step to the front. There really isn't anybody other than potentially a driver who could be in the Able car could be coming back. So I've gone through Able. I've gone through D-Force, Exclusive. Here's a cool one I like as well. It's Fat Boy Racing. Great people at Fat Boy. Charles Finelli, Brendan Puderbach, the whole crew over there. They know how to enjoy themselves at the track, but they're also pretty serious about what they're doing. Charles Finelli got faster and faster as the year went on. Got more comfortable with what is a beast of a race car. We know that. The PM18 has got some solid horsepower numbers at 280. It's light, a lot of downforce. And as Charles got more comfortable driving that car, which is the most of the thing he's ever driven in terms of an open wheel car, he kind of started finding some speed. I'm told they're going to have a second car this year. And the key is to kind of bring somebody else in to help with data. They're going to support another young driver who needs some help. I love this story. And you're going to hear a lot more about it as we get rolling. Philippe Dennis, the young Californian who ran a couple of races in USF 2000, then did some back in the Pro Mazda days, the older Pro Mazda. He's actually going to run with Fat Boy Racing as a second car, which I think is fantastic for us to see that. I love it. So again, that's Fat Boy Racing with a couple of cars. So again, where are we here? We're 4, 7, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, potentially 15 cars. I think we might get 15 because there's one more driver who I've talked to. At this point, he's telling me only the Indy GP weekend for now with a focus on the road courses. And that's Jacob Loomis, a young driver who has come up through the karting ranks, did some F4. And right now, essentially, it's going to be their own effort, kind of a privateer Jacob Loomis racing effort. But they're working with Moses Smith, who's been around the Star Mazda / Pro Mazda program for many, many years. He actually builds the Pro Mazdas now, the old Pro Mazda, the Pro Formula Mazda. He knows his stuff, great coach, understands the cars. I'm hoping to see Jacob come out, but I understand not running the opening race. Skip the first weekend because things can happen at St. Petersburg, as we know. Go to the Grand Prix of Indianapolis. He's been doing a lot of testing. They won't do the oval. And then I would expect we're going to see them back at Road America, maybe mid-Ohio. Will they make the run to the West Coast and run Portland and Laguna Seca? We'll see. But we will see Jacob Loomis, at least at the Indy GP. But counted up as 14 cars right now as the bottom line, potentially 15 or 16 if we get any stray guys coming in, late comers. But otherwise, Pro Mazda, not too bad. out of the box. And you know how things go. The cars are out there. A number of teams have second cars. We could see as many as 16 to 18 cars before we're all said and done. So there you go. Indy Pro 2000. I only said Pro Mazda by mistake once. I am going to say it more often simply because, at least for the first couple of weekends, I want to make sure people understand that's the kind of the transition. All right, let's have a look here now at USF 2000. Some better numbers in the category here, as it always is. Again, a more affordable budget for people to come in at. It's the start of their Road to Indy career, so we normally get more drivers coming in for this program. All right, let's have a look here, as I said. Interesting, there's a couple of teams that have been tight-lipped. There's a couple that potentially don't have anybody actually coming to run right now. I'm hearing there's a potential new team. Maybe not a new team, an old team coming back. There's a lot going on right now when it comes to this program. There's a lot of drivers who I would like to have seen come back that are at this point are not showing up. So let's start first and foremost with, let's start with the team that actually won the championship last year, as they've done for the last 8 years, and that's Cape Motorsports. They're lining themselves up again with some really, really impressive drivers, and not surprised that they're definitely going to fight for another championship. First and foremost, they go with a veteran here in USF 2000, Darren Keene. Darren actually not coming out with an official release, but Darren will indeed run for Cape Motorsports this year. Again, a couple of starts, then of course ran with Newman Walks Racing for a time. Had a lot of bad luck last year, and it was just one of those things where, as I was calling these races, inevitably there'd be a wreck. I'd look at it on the camera or wherever it may be, and Darren was somewhere in the middle of it. Someone had driven over top of him, chopped him. Man, this guy just had the absolute worst luck. But with Cape, count on him to be able to qualify well and be out front. So if he gets up front and races hard, Keene's going to be a championship contender. Teammate, Braden Eaves. Braden's a young driver who I followed through the karting ranks, kind of following in the footsteps of the Oliver Askews and the Kyle Kirkwoods, guys with senior karting experience instead of jumping straight out of junior, which is what a lot of these young drivers do, which I'm not a big fan of. I think a couple of years in the senior ranks when you're 15 and 16, even 17 years of age, you really learn what it's like to race with the big dogs. Junior is one thing, but senior, even if you're racing against guys that are essentially teenagers, there are those that are 18 and 19, and you got to learn respect out there. And I think that's one of the things that allowed a guy like Askew and Kirkwood to really step up and run out front. And that's going to play well for both Darren Keene and Braden Eaves when they run with Cape, because both are going to be strong. Of course, Braden was one of the winners of the Team USA scholarship as well. He impressed Jeremy Shaw enough. Had an issue with a blood clot, I believe, in his shoulder, wasn't able to make the trek, but that's since been remedied. He's good to go and absolutely itching to get back on the racetrack. Now, here's another young driver, kind of what I'm just talking about, 14 years of age, Reese Gold. I've watched Reese come through the micro category, mini, a short time in the junior class in karting. He did the Lucas Oil School of Racing program last year, their race series, and actually won that race series, so he brings his scholarship to Cape Motorsports. I would think that Dominic and Nicholas are looking at Reese saying, you are our project. We're going to use you or work with you for the next 2 to 3 years, and you're going to be a champion coming down the out of the gate. Like, he's going to be good. But again, if they foster him and let him kind of get going with his development, I think Reese is going to be a top 10 guy all year long, and he'll be ready to go for the championship in 2020. Now, then again, he could surprise us all and try to win the title here. But at 14 years of age, racing against some of the guys that have been around a little longer, he's going to be up against it for sure. So three drivers at Cape Motorsports, pretty strong package for them. I had mentioned Pabst Racing, not doing the Indy Pro 2000, but they are ready to come back and battle it out here in USF 2000. Four cars under the tent for Augie Pabst. He's got the Mazda $200,000 scholarship champion, the shootout champion in Hunter McElroy. He's going to be one to watch for sure, especially jumping in with Pabst. You got the veteran Colin Kaminsky, who has run a couple of years, and Colin had a couple of really good races last year. It was actually my star of the race at one point in one of the events. And I think that if he settles in, he'll be top five, top 10. He's got the speed, Colin does. He just needs to settle in and get into a better groove than he did last year. Bruna Tomaselli coming back for what will be her third year in the program. She ran with Arms Up Motorsports the first year, then did Team Pelfrey. And I think that Bruna will settle in nicely as well. She's the instruction and maybe some different approach she's going to get from the folks at PASS with Augie. And of course, the rest of the crew there, they got some people there that are, I think, really, really going to help her kind of get where she needs to be able to get herself into the top 10. The last driver in that quartet at Pabst Racing had a tremendous debut outing as a rookie last year, ran the Mid-Ohio weekend with Exclusive Autosport, came away with one of my stars of the race, and just stayed out of trouble during that entire triple header. And that's Yuvan Sundaramurthy, a young driver who has run through F1600, was good in F1600, won races, you know, was in that pack up front where they're just all over top of each other. I'll tell you, I think that Sundaramurthy has a chance. It'll be top 10 all year, in my mind, with an outside chance at winning the championship. I think it should be a two-year program for Yuvan. But again, like I said, we've seen people get comfortable right out of the box and, you know, be on the podium potentially at St. Petersburg. And when that momentum happens, they push through to the end. There's a lot of really, really good drivers. So count four drivers for Pabst Racing. Let's move to Newman Walks now, because Newman Walks signed a couple of guys that I think are going to be a lot of fun to watch as well. We start off with the most recent announcement, and that's the a driver out of Australia, actually from Toowoomba, exactly the same place as Will Power. A number of scholarships for this young guy coming through Formula 4, then through what they call the Formula 3 program down there. I'm talking about Cameron Shields. Cameron's got a lot of talent, has won a lot of races, and has raced quite a bit, too. A lot of seat time. So Cameron, I think, he's a bit of an unknown for us, for sure. But he's been right up there, winning championships, first or second in the championships that he ran down in Australia. I think that Cameron could be very impressive working with John Hayes and Brian Hallahan at Newman Walks Racing. Just like Cape Motorsports, they got a young driver as well, 14-year-old Nolan Siegel, who did some racing in Northern California in the Sonoma Raceway F3 Series. Won that championship there. Got a lot of seat time at Sonoma. So I'll tell you, Siegel will be one to watch too. Not the same karting pedigree as Reese Gold. Reese won a lot of races and a lot of championships coming up the ranks. Nolan more experienced that way. But again, working in that Newman Walks Racing crew, we'll see how things go for Nolan Siegel. One of the other teams to jump into, let's watch real quickly on that, was Exclusive Autosport. Igor Fraga was the kind of guy last year that really put things together. We were very impressed with what Igor did. Just a great kid out of the car as well. But when he got behind the wheel, man, he was a bulldog. Got a couple of aggressive driving penalties. He was not holding back at all in terms of trying to go for race wins. Actually fought it out with Kirkwood in Toronto, passed Kirkwood, and then Kyle got back by. But man, he was probably one of the only guys really to take the fight to Kyle Kirkwood last year. So at this point, Igor's not coming back. We were hoping he was going to come back. He's won an esports scholarship with McLaren. Not sure what that's going to develop for him, but that's where he is now. We're told he's at this point not coming back to run USF 2000. Really, right now, it's only one driver. It's the return of Manuel Cabrera, the young Mexican driver who has been running F4. He's going to be back with Exclusive Autosport. It'll be a single car effort right now. I know that Michael Duncalf working hard to get a teammate for him. I was pretty sure we were going to see Kellen Ritter, who won the Ontario and Quebec F1600 programs last year. Won the Super Series up in Ontario and Quebec in Formula F or F1600. I know they're still trying to put the program together, but I don't think at this point we're going to see Kellen Ritter at the Grand Prix of St. Petersburg. He did run Portland last year, so maybe a shortened schedule for him to, again, maybe get some more seat time behind the wheel of the USF 2000. A couple of teams I expected to have more cars, but end up with just a single car right now as we get ready to head to St. Petersburg. BN Racing, number one. You know, they were good last year, and they were good the year before. Anthony Famularo will run for them here in 2019. And talking to Bryn Nuttall, the team principal there, he's been telling me he's got a number of drivers who have been very close to putting in that car, signing contracts, but just nothing has come to fruition. And I think that's probably one of the reasons why, as I said earlier, people are being pretty tight-lipped. When they've got a driver, they're not telling anybody about him, because I think it's getting kind of cutthroat out there in terms of people picking up the phone, offering deals, whatever it may be. So Anthony Famularo right now, the only driver that we'll see for BN Racing, at least confirmed at this point. No drivers confirmed yet for Arms Up Motorsports. I know those guys are really hoping to get someone behind the wheel again. They've had a lot of success, especially a couple of years ago, the first year of the USF 17, Victor Franzoni getting some victories for them. The guys at Bennick, Nick Mitchell, I talked to Nick. They've been testing like crazy, but haven't signed anybody yet, and they don't want to say anything. So I've been pushing Nick pretty hard, and he has not yet opened up in terms of whether or not there's going to be anybody driving for him. So there's a couple guys with no cars to announce at this point. Go to D-Force Racing. They've had as many as four cars in the past. I think they had four cars at the opening round at St. Petersburg last year. At this point, only one driver, Manuel Suleiman, will be their lone USF 2000 driver coming out of the box. So again, a bit of a surprise when it comes to D-Force Racing, as they've really been one of the kind of the powerhouses of the program, putting a bunch of drivers into the top 10 week in and week out. As we go down the order, Jay Howard Motorsports Development, they'll make their debut in USF 2000 this year. Jay, of course, as I said before, with a karting program, then kind of focusing more on to the F4 series. And he's got drivers moving up from F4, as well as one coming over from Europe as well. Christian Bogle and Christian Rasmussen both coming up from his F4 program. So they'll have that continuity of the team, the people around him, which I think will really, really bode well. Jay's told me that the testing has gone extremely well. And they also just recently announced Matthew Round Garrido, who is one of the top Formula 1600, Formula 4 drivers over in England. And I think that he's going to be a lot of fun to watch. It's going to be, I always like having those guys come over because they are aggressive and they know how to race wheel to wheel. So Matthew's a guy that I'm really, really excited to see come over to USF 2000. One of the big teams last year that I think would have probably challenged Kyle Kirkwood for the championship was Swan RJB Motorsports last year. That team essentially disbanded at the end of the season. Merle Swan going in a different direction. RJB kind of pulling back a little bit. One of their chief mechanics stepping up, Mike Meyer, to start Legacy Autosport. The folks from RJB still in the program as well. Ryan Barth, Fred Edwards still there. They've kind of reset themselves as Legacy Autosport. And they also grabbed a hold of Alex Barron. He was the young French driver who was able to win early in the season and look poised to be in the middle of a year-long battle with Kirkwood for that championship. Had some trouble midway through the season, a couple of wrecks. A big one, actually, at Lucas Oil Raceway during the Freedom 75, the night before the 500 event. Got into the wall trying to lap another car. Got kind of expensive, and he had to pull out for lack of funds. And so there goes Kirkwood's primary challenger. They're going to come back, and I'm told there's going to be two cars there. Alex Barron in one of the cars, second car not yet confirmed, but I'm told there's a driver in that car. I can't tell you who it is right now. It's been off the record, but there will be, I'm told, two drivers running for Legacy Autosport. One of the teams that announced pretty early last year, midway through the season, that was Miller Vinatieri Motorsports. They'd done some time in F4 with Jack Miller III. So they're making the move to the road to Indy for the first time. And I think that's pretty exciting to bring that team over here. Of course, Jack Miller was a veteran of the IRL. Of course, Mr. Vinatieri, who's well-known in the Indianapolis area, one of the kickers for the Indianapolis Colts. And that connection brings, of course, young Jack III in, but it also brings in another very, very famous name, and that is Eduardo Barrichello. Of course, Rubens Barrichello, who still likes to race his shifter cart, was out at the Super Nationals, Escusa Super Nationals, ran the most recent Florida Winter Tour, 47 years of age, still behind the wheel of a cart because he just absolutely loves it, but he's a huge supporter of his kids and their racing. And if you've seen any of the videos, you know how emotional Rubens gets when it comes to his kids. Eduardo's a great young driver. He's really starting to come into his own in karting as well. He's been doing some off-season karting. Did F4 last year with DC Autosport and will move, and it had a bunch of top 10s, but he will move with Miller Vinatieri to run USF 2000. So a brand new team, a couple of rookie drivers in USF 2000. You know what? It'll be an intriguing storyline to see how that team kind of plays out and how things go. All right, last but not least, one more driver. I can kind of throw it out there. Nothing's really locked and loaded yet right now. We're wondering we're looking for James Rowe to potentially come back. James ran with Swan and RJB and was really impressive last year. Potential for him to connect with a new team we're hearing that has been out doing some other racing. That's all I'm going to say about that right now, but there's a potential for a new team that could come out and potentially run James Rowe, which we'll see. The young Irishman's a great kid, hard worker, dedicated to becoming a race car driver, and he's got a lot of talent as well. So I really hope that we see James on the grid at St. Petersburg. All right, what other updates do we have? Potential new team. I'm told that we may see Jay Motorsports back. Jay Green, who has won the USF 2000 Spirit Award in years past, Mechanic of the Year in years past, had a team, Jay Motorsports, had guys like Colton Herta, Adrian Starantino, Heinrich Furuseth, all ran for Jay back in the day, you know, 4 or 5 years ago in the older car. Hearing the potential, he's picked up a car, could have two, but I haven't been able to put any names onto the seats yet. So let's just say we could potentially have a new team coming in. Right now, I'm at 20 cars. That's where I am. I want to say that with some of the stuff that's going to fall, I'm going to predict 24. I don't know if we'll get to 25 or 26, but I want to say 24 cars. I'm just going to throw that out there just for fun because there's a lot of stuff still to come together. Like I said, Bennick potentially has a couple of cars. Will BN Racing get a second car? D-Force has one. Will Exclusive Autosports find somebody else? We could say 24. Heck, it could be 26. You never know. But at this point, 20 locked that I've been able to give you here right now. Again, the drivers we're not going to see, which I really hope to see back. Igor Fraga not coming back. He was third last year. I would have expected Calvin Ming to move to Indy Pro 2000, but he's telling me that he's going to take the year off, going to potentially do some racing. He's actually going to run the Supercarts USA Pro Tour and a Pro Shifter, a 175cc IAMI power plant, 45 horsepower. He'll have some fun with that. Actually racing this coming weekend at Cal Speed Karting in Fontana. Kalen Frederick, who was sixth last year, could easily challenge for the championship or second, but had a really rough stretch in the final couple of races, saw himself plummet down the order. He's elected to refocus in England. He's going to run British F3 with Carlin, so we wish Kalen the best. Maybe we'll see him back for Indy Lights one day. Julian Vandervoort, as I said, we potentially thought he was going to go to Pro Mazda. I would like to see him come back in Indy Lights because I think he was one of the most improved drivers over the second half of the season. Julian kind of found his way to the front half of the top five, top 10, and challenged. Got a podium in Portland. So I think that Julian would have been a championship contender as well. I've tried to reach out, haven't heard much from him yet. Same goes for Kyle Dupel. He ran for Team Pelfrey last year. Potential for a couple of late season races. But Kyle, at this point, not planning to do a full season. Well, there you have it, folks. There's my wrap-up. My kind of preview here for the three rungs of the Road to Indy presented by Cooper Tires. Again, my name is Rob Howden. Looking forward to the season. And do me a favor. I'd love you to follow me on all my social media accounts. It's just Rob Howden. You can find me Rob Howden. Might be Rob Howden 5 on Facebook. At Rob Howden on Twitter. And at Rob Howden Racing on Instagram. I'm going to be doing a lot of social media this year. I'm going to try to do some trackside interviews as well on my Road to Indy Insider Facebook page, potentially as well on the Instagram feed. Just talking to some guys at the track, you know, just kind of doing a little more content-wise. So those of you who are interested in following the future stars of the NTT IndyCar Series, you're going to see them here in the Road to Indy presented by Cooper Tires. There's a lot of great drivers in this program. As I said, 20 essentially confirmed for USF 2000. Could be as high as 24, as I said, maybe 26 for St. Petersburg. We're looking at anywhere between 14 and 16, I believe, for the Indy Pro 2000 series. And then right now, essentially the disappointment is the 8 cars we have in Indy Lights. As it was coming together, people were testing. I was saying 10 to 12. I really thought we were going to get to 12. But again, it's tough sometimes to put things together. And again, the potential loss of Carlin, as I had said, is indeed I'm expecting that Dalton Kellett will announce himself in the second car of Juncos Racing on Tuesday morning. Lots of great stuff happened, though. Again, we are going racing. The IndyCar program looks super exciting. We're going to have a ton of cars at the 500 as well. I'm looking forward to being with IndyCar Radio again. One thing I really haven't touched on yet is the NBC Gold program. Of course, all our races, all the Indy Lights races on the NBC Gold package. The other races, all the Indy Lights qualifying and practice, in addition to Indy Pro 2000, and USF 2000, all available at roadtoindy.tv. They'll be streaming, of course, as well on the live timing pages of the respective sites, USF2000.com, IndyPro2000.com, and IndyLights.com. You'll be able to get them in other areas as well. But again, it's going to be a good season. We're looking forward to getting at it. There's a lot of great drivers coming out of Indy Lights last year who have worked their way to the NTT IndyCar Series. We're excited to see what they can do. But again, I'm just really happy that the new season's back underway. We kick things off at the Grand Prix of St. Petersburg. We're on track, I believe, practice and I think qualifying for Indy Pro and USF 2000 on Thursday. But otherwise, we're underway. So again, to fill you everyone in, my plan is to do a post-weekend podcast. I'm going to try to get Steve Wittig, Krista Hardy, Joey Barnes, Aaron Bearden, some of these guys, Josh Farmer potentially on board with me as well. We're going to talk about what we saw at the track that weekend. And then I'm going to try to see if I can't do a weekly interview as well. I want to get some of these kids that are performing well, some of the young great stories going on. I'm going to try to do a weekly insider podcast for you as well. Again, the whole idea just to bring you a little bit closer to the action and the people and the stars of the Road to Indy presented by Cooper Tires. Again, we hope you join us at the Grand Prix of St. Petersburg. It's going to be a great one. Let's cross our fingers for mid-70s and sun. Always a fantastic time when we kick off the season down there on the west coast of Florida. Folks, I hope you enjoyed this first podcast. My name's Rob Howden. Bye for now.